It is 4:06 on the Central Coast. It is Tuesday, April 13th, 2021. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be with you as we continue our conversation. We started at 2 o'clock today. We had the live press conference from Sheriff Parkinson confirming the arrest of Paul Flores and his father, Ruben, in the disappearance of Kristen Smart nearly 25 years ago. Always good to be in conversation with journalist Matt Hoy. His website is hoystory.com. And I'm especially pleased that he made the effort to drive all the way down from Paso Robles to join us. Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I thought you were going to call in.
I'm just glad that I managed to avoid all the highway patrol officers because it was a little tight.
Yeah. No, and may I say, even though we're on radio, you look great.
Thank you.
I haven't seen you in about a year.
I know. That's true of so many relationships that we've had with just everyone. My parents came up, visited me for Easter, and I hadn't seen them in 16 months, and that's probably the longest I've ever gone without seeing my parents.
Wow. HoyStory.com is the website. There's so much I want to ask you about following up on the Kristen Smart case. Praise after praise upon praise. We just heard Jamie call him before the news break, being lavished upon Chris Lambert.
He
created the podcast. He totally deserves it.
Deserves every bit of it.
Don't want anything that we're about to say to be misconstrued. But I call him a citizen journalist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And one of the things I want to pursue this hour with you is this the future of journalism? Where somebody like Chris Lambert goes out, creates a podcast, or Matt Hoy creates hoystory.com, and that's where journalism is going. Let's talk about that.
Certainly. You know, it's kind of been a long time coming. And I think citizen, you know, the idea that you need a journalism degree to be a journalist is not true. The idea that you need any sort of specialized training to become a journalist is not true. I mean, you can teach yourself journalism. So I've kind of opposed that for a long time. You know, blogging started up right around 2000, 2001. My site's been up since 2001.
That long.
Okay. And in the early years, I mean, I wrote a lot, mainly because I got home late at night after, you know, working at the newspaper and needed to vent and needing to kind of wind down. Because if, you know, when you've got a nightly deadline, I was amped up at midnight. And so I couldn't immediately go to sleep. My parents would joke that I would get up at the crack of noon. It's like, yeah, don't, mom, dad, no, do not call me before noon because I'm not awake before noon.
Yeah.
So, you know, back when blogging started, that was kind of, you know, and some of it was just opinion. Some of it, you know, there were people who went out and did reporting. There were people who went out and interviewed people. And there were people in kind of the old media, in newspapers and whatnot, who looked down on citizen journalists. Famously, David Shaw of the LA Times, the late media reporter there, this, you know, blogging was kind of on the rise, he poo-pooed it saying, you know, the difference between, you know, something that appears in the LA Times and something that appears on some blog is that, you know, what we publish in the LA Times goes through four layers of editors and it's fact-checked and this, that, and the other thing. Well, yes, but that doesn't necessarily invalidate the work done by citizen journalists. And sadly, there's stuff published in the LA Times and other, you know, news media outlets that are no longer fact-checked by four layers of editor, and some of the stuff they put out isn't that great. Some of the stuff citizen journalists put out is great. What Chris Lambert did, dang good job. You know, he's not a trained journalist. There, you know, I listened to a couple of the podcasts. There's one or two things. There's one thing specifically that he mentioned in one of the podcasts where, you know, if I was his editor, I'd say I realize it's, you know, 60 seconds of the podcast. You need to lose that 60 seconds because it raises a question, you don't tie it in, and it's a little misleading. But aside from that, he did a magnificent job. It's a job that you would think that 20, 25 years ago, when newspapers were still kind of king, I don't think you could have gotten it done at a TV station unless you were like a national news magazine.
Right.
But it was something that wasn't common, but it wasn't rare either, to be, you know, that sort of in-depth reporting to be done at a newspaper. Nowadays, you just don't have the manpower, you don't have the money to devote to that kind of in-depth journalism where you're taking somebody off their beat for months.
Yes, but now the other side of that is that there are other people, and I wonder if this is a good thing, Matt. They want to be Chris Lambert. Oh, look at the success of his podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go look at this case, or I'm going to go look at that issue. I guess it's a good thing if we just fill the room with podcasters,
yeah,
citizen journalists.
So, you know, if it's, you know, and again, you know, from my standpoint, like I said, I haven't listened to all the podcasts. I've listened to a couple of them. I would have loved to see some of the source docs. You know, he talks with a reporter who was at the Mustang Daily, I guess it was Daily then, News Now, because it's not Daily anymore, the student newspaper at Cal Poly, who was doing a piece on this. And, you know, he's talked about how, you know, she was planning on doing a four story series, and it stopped after two, and a lot of it was pushback from the faculty. And frankly, I would have loved to see those. You know, it's clear that he saw them, but I would have loved to see the source documents. That's something I kind of criticize, you know, newspapers and online old media nowadays, is, look, if they're source documents, link to them. Let me see them as, you know, a reader, and let me, you know, it helps me evaluate things. Same thing with, you know, somebody who wants to become the next Chris Lambert. You know, go out, do the work, put your, you know, put source documents and stuff out there so people can see. And that's how you're going to get a lot of credibility.
Well, another example is coming on the Stolberg Law KVC text line. Sean is reminding us about Slow Stringer.
Right.
Perfect example.
Exactly.
The late, great Slow Stringer. He was more a photographer.
Right.
And he would go out wherever the police accidents, mm-hmm, crime scenes, he would take photos primarily, post them on a Facebook page, and boy, he had a following.
Oh yeah. And that was old time, you know, journalism. And again, the thing with Slow Stringer, the thing with Chris Lambert is, you know, Slow Stringer, he did that mainly out of love. His main business, I think he repaired motorcycles or something like that.
Yeah.
You can't, it was difficult then. It's getting a little bit easier now to make money off these sorts of things, right? That's always the key, is how do you support Chris Lambert? Chris Lambert did a great job. He sought donations. People, you know, gave him money so he could continue doing it,
right,
which is great. That's something you see, you know, you're talking about citizen journalists. You don't need to be employed by a media company anymore to be a citizen journalist. There are places like Substack or Patreon.
Substack.
It's a website that basically allows you to subscribe to a writer.
Nice.
Notable people who are on Substack right now, Barry Weiss, who used to be with the New York Times, who was kind of chased out of there because she was insufficiently woke. Andrew Sullivan his blog is now on Substack. Matt Taibbi, formerly of the Rolling Stone magazine, is on Substack. And that's a place where you can follow a writer and you can pay for a subscription to that writer and support them that way. So, you know, those are ways that people can support those kind of citizen journalists. That's a way that they can make a living. You don't need to be working for a newspaper or a magazine or a TV station or a network anymore.
All right. Matt Hoy from HoyStory.com is his website. We're talking about a few things this hour, starting off by the rise of the citizen journalist, particularly locally here on the Central Coast. Chris Lambert has Your Own Backyard podcast.com. The late Slow Stringer, who covered crime scenes more thoroughly than any other journalist on the Central Coast before he died in a tragic accident. We'll pick up that conversation. Your phone call still to come. We're live. We're local. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. We are in conversation with Matt Hoy. How many years in journalism for you, Matt, by the way?
Total of 15 before I got laid off in the great downsizing.
His website is hoystory.com. We got a couple things going. We'll start off talking about the rise of the citizen journalist. Obviously, Chris Lambert has had a huge impact with the Kristen Smart case. We talked a little bit about Slow Stringer. Other people have come forward with podcasts. I think the count, Matt, is something like 700,000 plus podcasts in this country alone. What blogging was 20 years ago, there's a new podcast. But if you're KSBY, Tribune, KVEC, how do you respond to the citizen journalists? Do you ignore them? Do you try to incorporate them? Do you work together?
I think you ignore them at your peril. Especially when you get like the work that Chris Lambert did. You can't duplicate that. I mean, you know, we were talking during the break about, you know, our old days in print journalism if a competitor had a story, you would go and, you know, you kind of follow in their footsteps, re-report it, and then never mention them because you didn't want to, you know, throw them any shade or give them any credit. At the Mustang, you know, when I was in college at Cal Poly at the Mustang Daily, when it was daily, we had a wall of scoop, and it was a bunch of scoop. It was called the Wall of Scoop. Peter Hartlove, who you've talked to, was the editor when I was at the Mustang Daily, and he's now with the San Francisco Chronicle. He had the Wall of Scoop, and we would have you'd cut out the Mustang Daily report on whatever it was, and then a week later, a similar story appears in the Tribune, talking to the same people, covering the same ground. You know, without mentioning anything we had done, and, you know, boom, that appears in the Tribune.
I can tell you, in my experience in the early 90s in the Telegram Tribune, the predecessor, KSBY did not exist. New Times did not exist. You never talked about them in the newsroom. Yeah. They just didn't exist.
Yeah, and that was ego. And, you know, part of it's ego. Part of it's you don't want kind of to alert your customers, aka the readers, or, you know, people who want to place ads, that, you know, there's another game in town potentially. That's to a certain extent, I think, kind of gone the way of the dodo, or should have gone the way of the dodo, with the downsizing that's happened in local news media. You can't kind of do that anymore. I think you need to engage. I think you need to, I think it would probably be a great idea if KSBY, you know, worked with Chris Lambert when it came to coverage of the trial. I think they could probably make an hour-long news special if they wanted to, working with him and using his audio and some of their own footage.
Yep.
And you want to, and that's something, you know, you broadcast it locally here, and you could probably sell it to a bunch of other news stations around the country to run, you know, late afternoon or early morning or something on the weekends when they're running those advertorials that no one watches.
No, they could, for example, go through KSBY, since it's an NBC affiliate, and share it with all NBC affiliates around the country.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a way to package that. But I think that part of it is also that local media coverage has declined so much because of economic reasons.
Yeah.
Radio, TV, newspapers, the last 10 years, that I think citizen journalists are going to come forward. Well, the Slow Stringer did, and Chris Lambert obviously did.
Right.
Right? Because certain stories were not being covered to the degree they thought they should be covered.
And newspapers have tried, you know, they've tried to kind of respond to this in some ways. I mean, the last week you had me on a few months ago talking about, you know, the Tribune's effort to get, you know, kind of crowdfunding for covering, I believe it was housing policy here or housing here in San Luis Obispo County. So, you know, that's one way to respond to it. You know, the difficulty would be, you know, finding who are these citizen journalists. And, you know, you've got things like the Craig Newmark Foundation, who was the founder of Craigslist, and Google and others are trying to beef up local reporting with, you know, funding reporter positions and that sort of thing. You know, that certainly, I think, helps, but, you know, it's tough to see where the money comes from.
And I'll throw us out as a perfect example. It's not like we had a reporter out there today.
Right.
We were able to cover the press conference of Sheriff Parkinson. We just went to Facebook Live.
Right.
And we carried that stream. Otherwise, we didn't have the resources to go out to Cal Poly like we would have had 20 years ago.
And, you know, there's a plus side to that and there's a downside to that. The plus side is you're able to carry that news conference. The downside is if you come to the point where you are dependent solely on that, you're kind of under their control, right? If they decide to not release something or, you know, whatnot, you can't hold them accountable. I think there was a case with a sheriff's deputy shooting a dog in Atascadero a while ago where, you know, he pulled his gun, he discharged it, and there was no press release, no nothing until some people.
It was in San Luis.
It was in San Luis?
Yeah, slow PD. Well, the case I'm thinking of.
I think there was one in Atascadero where it was a sheriff's officer.
It could be. All right, yeah.
But, you know, there was no press release. There was no notification of the press. And it wasn't until people started calling the Tribune or going on Facebook and whatnot and saying, hey, this happened. Why isn't it in the paper? Then they go and talk to them, and then they get a response. But, you can't, as a reporter, as a news media outlet, you can't allow yourself to become so dependent on what the government or what the police or what the sheriff is providing to you that you don't look any deeper.
We are talking about the big news of the day with the arrest of Paul and Ruben Flores, but a different angle with my guest, Matt Hoy. His website is hoystory.com. We're putting well-deserved praise on Chris Lambert for the job he did with his incredible website. But we're also wondering if this is the future. Citizen journalists supplementing, replacing, competing against traditional mainstream media. We'll welcome your phone calls and continue that conversation. We have news and traffic and weather and more of Hometown Radio. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. You know, Craig, who's going to be back tomorrow, and now Jim, do a great job of posting the podcast each night on our website at 920kvec.com. We've also decided that we're going to post the podcast of Sheriff Parkinson's press conference. So if you didn't hear that, we'll be posting that early this evening at 920kvec.com. We are in conversation with Matt Hoy. His website is hoystory.com. We're continuing our conversation about the Flores case and the Parkinson press conference, but we're focusing on the idea of the citizen journalist. If you want in on this conversation, as we talk about Chris Lambert and Slow Stringer and private citizens who have come forward, and they're shaping the media now, they're shaping the news content now with their stories, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Be curious to see your reaction to these people who come forward. But Matt, holy cow, we're on ABC News with the Kristen Smart case.
ABC News, you mentioned it was the lead story in LA Times. I checked the San Francisco paper. It's not the lead story, but it is prominent above, you know, it's one of the top links up there at the top of sfgate.com. So, yeah, it's the type of story, you know, for better or for worse, you know, newspapers get criticized for this all the time. She was young and blonde and pretty.
Meaning
ugly people don't get the same treatment. It's seen as all the more tragic, I think, because of, you know, what she looked like. And that's, you know, that's kind of a media criticism. That's nothing to criticize anything else about it, but it's, you know, they've done studies years after years after years, and, you know, that's just kind of the way it works. That's kind of the way, because the way human beings work, right? Pretty people get acting jobs, ugly people are character actors, or, you know, something like that.
Let's take a call. We've got Alan in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Alan.
Yeah, hey, Dave. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Alan.
That brought to point on that last comment, Matt. It's true. When you hear somebody mourning about somebody who's lost, somebody who's passing, oh, such a beautiful person. Sometimes they meant that outside, sometimes inside. But that very frequently the comment, or this person had great potential, meaning if they didn't, their life isn't worth as much. So, but the reason I actually called in is the follow-through. Even in the days when we had more reporters, it's always is great when you get that support from the public, keeping their eye out. There's always a need to know what's going on, to have witnesses to an event, to pass on that information so that the job gets done faster. The police can only do so much and all the help they can get. That's why you have things like Crime Stoppers, so that the feedback comes in.
Right, but Alan, we've gone in some of these cases from being the eyes of the community to becoming the media of the community. That's what I'm talking about.
Right, and part of that, again, is that mean that the normal channels, the old-style channels, are not doing their job anymore? Yeah. And some of that, I think that's true. There aren't enough reporters. I've always been concerned, no matter who's doing it, whether it's a newspaper or a citizen, to be able to do that research without contaminating evidence. And so it's one thing to poke around, but it's still being cautious enough not to mess things up, so that if it has to go to trial, you still have valid evidence.
Matt, talk about the standard for research and work, how we judge this stuff.
Well, you know, again, it's like I mentioned earlier, you know, source documents would be wonderful. I understand, you know, there are some situations where you don't want to let all of that out, but I think that would be certainly be helpful. As far as responsibility, you know, that's when you open up to social media, and you've got Facebook and you've got Twitter, and you've got all of these avenues to get a podcast out. You know, you can do video casts, you can publish on WordPress.com or, you know, other blog sites. I don't think you can necessarily contaminate a criminal case. You can create a firestorm, certainly. You can create outrage. I think there is a need to be responsible, but that kind of comes with just, you know, being an adult in life too. I think Chris Lambert did a good job. There's one thing on one of the podcasts where I would have cut that out. But you know, I think you need to judge the work kind of separate from the person presenting it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
As long as you know they identify themselves and you can see that they don't necessarily have a dog in the hunt, judge them by the product they produce. Yeah. And if they continually lie to you or deceive you, then you need to ignore them and you need to, you know, point those things out. But if they're a solid source and they have done good work, then they deserve a following, and they deserve that work to be spread.
Alan, what else do you want to say?
And I also want to be careful with what comes out in the media because of a jury that has to be picked at some point for many of the cases, so that they will get as little as they get. We get a good jury pool that people will have not made up their minds ahead of time, and that's hard to avoid, of course.
Particularly after 25 years.
Yeah, and the next few weeks and months is going to be that times 100.
Yeah.
You know, what's gone before is peanuts compared to what's going to be coming in the coming weeks and months.
Alan, thank you. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. We invite your participation in this conversation with Matt Hoy. April is on Oceano. Hi, April.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, April.
Hi, I just wanted to remind you guys, if you don't remember, the original podcast was Serial on the public radio network, whatever it is, and they did a series on a crime story, and from that, a man who was a listener, firefighter, quit his firefighting job and started a podcast for crowdsourcing murders and crimes for solutions for solving them. And so this isn't new in 2019 or 2020 or 21. This has been going on since roughly 2014, just on crime parts. But community involvement or citizenship involvement of the news, I'm very for that. But this in particular, like what Chris has done, that's been done on our local level by Chris, but throughout the country, this is not new, and I just wasn't sure if you were aware of that. And if you've never heard Serial, you really should listen to it. It is
that in
fascinating.
I assume that's as in Serial Killer.
Yes, okay. But also Serial, like a series in a row.
Yes, as opposed to breakfast cereal. Matt,
exactly. S-E-R-I-A-L. And it was the original one was about a man named Adnan Syed, who in Baltimore, Maryland, when he was under the age of 18, was found guilty of killing his high school girlfriend. But so much evidence was discovered after the fact that it really put it into question. And their people came out of the woodwork who went to school with the guy, who were neighbors, friends, family, acquaintances, strangers who saw things. So it was truly crowdsourcing to help solve a mystery. And they're still fighting in court about getting this guy free, who's now in his late 30s, maybe even early 40s.
Yeah. Matt, are you familiar with this?
I've heard of it. I have not listened to that podcast, but because I listen to the Dave Congleton podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It was on This American Life, and I highly recommend it. Highly.
It's called Serial.
Serialpodcast.org.
You can find it.
Serialpodcast.org.
Yeah.
All right, April, thank you. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Matt Hoy from HoyStory.com on this broadcast. We're talking about the rise of citizen journalists. Locally, we had the late, great Slow Stringer. And, of course, Chris Lambert is getting well-deserved kudos for the role that he played in bringing Paul Flores and his father, Ruben, to the stage where they were arrested just this morning. I'm not sure this would have happened without Chris Lambert. What happened today? It would have been harder.
It would have, well, definitely would have been harder. I don't think we know today. I think we'll know a lot better when we can see when we can see the case that was built by the Slo County Sheriff's Office. You know, you mentioned it earlier. You know, the only thing worse than waiting 25 years is waiting 25 years and not having your ducks in a row to convict. Yeah. So, you know, they didn't reveal a whole lot about their case. They didn't. We don't know where Kristen's remains are still, apparently. So, you know, it's something that we will find out in the coming weeks and months.
Would you expect there to be a change of venue for this trial, or do you honestly expect it will be held here in Slo County?
Getting a change of venue is a tough row to hoe. It doesn't happen often. Despite the popularity of your own backyard podcast, I'm not sure that you're going to be able to get it moved.
They moved Rex Krebs, the serial killer, back in 1998. They moved that up to Monterey.
Yeah.
So there is precedent.
Oh, there's always precedent. They might have to do some voir dire, question some potential jurors here before they decide whether the pool's too contaminated. They may need that information. If they can find, 18 people, 12 plus alternates probably for this case.
All right, we have Don in San Luis. Hi, Don.
Good afternoon. I really have appreciated some of the revealing discussion you've had about local news and radio funding and that sort of thing. And I suppose I have a question because I really don't have an answer, but I will pose it this way in a description of what was occurring at KVEC in the very early 80s. There was a young man by the name of Mike Powell who covered almost everything. He called the basketball games for Cal Poly and football games with Denny Clarkson, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
7:30 in the morning, he did the news, as I recall, and noon news then with Paul Harvey. But what I want to get around to is he also had a little microphone and a little battery-operated recorder, and he would show up at city council meetings or at an automobile accident or whatever, and he could do some things that maybe television couldn't do because he didn't have to set up cameras and, organize the van or the truck or any of those kinds of things. He just put the microphone up in front of some of the principals and got a story. And the next morning, a high school student listening to the radio with the parents had the story of the day. At that particular time, I'll make this as quick as I can, the hot topic was funding for parking garages downtown and so on. We had our first female mayor, for example, and T. Keith Gurney, you have him on occasion, Dave. Yeah. He can give you more. But my point of it is, this one guy was just doing a lot of things that even television couldn't cover. He maintained a sports program early in the morning, 8 to 10, like that.
And I take your point, Don, and are you willing to volunteer to take the microphone at the city council meeting for us every Tuesday
that's
night?
That's my point. Yeah. How is it that we can't afford to do that anymore?
Well, that's a great question that could take up a whole hour of conversation.
Okay.
but stay with me. It's a legitimate question. And I want Matt to respond as well, but it's not just radio, it's television and newspaper. All the traditional media are being, what would you say, Matt?
They've lost a lot of their, income streams. Yeah. I mentioned Craig Newmark earlier, the guy who came up with Craigslist. If you want to sell something, if you've got an apartment for rent or whatnot, you don't go down to the Tribune and pay, $30 for three lines for a week.
Right.
That was a pretty big, financial input.
Yeah.
Advertise, that sort of thing. I've mentioned this before. The second, when this happened with Kristen Smart, I was at the Lompoc Record just about that time leaving to work up at the Daily World in Aberdeen, Washington. The Daily World in Aberdeen, Washington at the time covered Grays Harbor and Pacific counties. We had a staff in the newsroom of about, so I want to say between 18 and 20, two photographers, reporters, editors. The Daily World in Grays Harbor, Washington now has, last I checked, two reporters.
Right. Well, look at the Tribune. They sold
this is at the heart of my question, though, gentlemen. Mike Powell was able to get through to things and do things. One guy, it seems that part of the problem is it's much easier to just stay in the office, with the satellite feed and that kind of thing, rather than open up the back door and see what somebody's doing out there. Now, I don't want to make this a negative thing at all, because I think this is a great program. The coverage of this young woman's removal from society, whatever happened, it kind of got away, because I think, now this is just one guy, but I pay a lot of attention to what is going on. I see it as this a haven called the studio. or there is a haven, which is, you know, a headquarters in Atlanta, that kind of thing.
But that's not fair. That's not fair.
And you can have, you know, one reporter like that go out and do all of those, you know, spot news reporting, but you can't have that same reporter spend the hours and hours and hours that Chris Lambert spent to get that podcast done and all the editing and all that.
And
do all that other sort of stuff too.
Right.
So they can either, you know, do the breaking news stuff, or they can do in depth, or they can do a mix of the two, but they can't do it all.
Right. And at 2:00 today, we gave you the live feed.